Among the great pleasures of spending the summer in New York City is the Public Theater Shakespeare in the Park, and this year's season opens with an enchanting and witty production of Much Ado About Nothing. Among Shakespeare's young couples, none would be more suited to a life as New Yorkers than the sardonic, self-confident Beatrice and the baffled and at times self-important Benedict. In a stroke of perfect casting, Beatrice is played by Lily Rabe and Benedict by Hamish Linklater. Much Ado About Nothing will be at the Delacorte Theater in Central Park until July 6th, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Lily Rabe and Hamish Linklater back to our show. Welcome back.
Hi.
You are, as a couple, perfectly suited to these roles. Had you aspired to this before, Lily?
To these roles?
Well, to playing Beatrice.
Yes, very much so.
And Hamish, I gather you'd already played him in high school?
Oh, yeah. I'd done it in high school, so I had a teenage leg up on Lil there.
But did you remember the lines?
I remembered a lot of the lines. They really got
did.
In there.
It was so unfair.
Yeah. That was a good advantage I had.
Was it the director, Jack O'Brien, who came up with the idea of casting you both in these roles?
We can't really remember how this came about. It was either Oscar Eustace, who runs the Public, or it was Lily, or it was me, or it was Jack. Maybe it was you, Leonard. Uh-huh. I don't know.
But it was something that about probably three-ish years ago, the three of us, Oscar, Hamish, and myself, started talking about it and sort of wishing for it, and then the pieces fell into place.
Well, you both become regulars at Shakespeare in the Park. So I'm assuming that Oscar or somebody else involved in the productions will say, ask you, what would you like to do next?
You know, get an apartment right underneath the audience at the Delacorte. I'd get, permanent residency. That would be great. Tenureship would be really nice.
Everyone else on stage, everyone in the audience knows that Beatrice and Benedict are fated for each other. But how do you think your characters feel about each other at the beginning of the play? Shakespeare hints that they've had a complicated past, but he doesn't get specific.
I think we've talked about this so much and have sort of strong feelings about it, but the amazing thing is that ambiguity and sort of talking to people after it and asking them I think everyone really does have a very personal feeling about what their history is. I feel that it's a substantial one.
That didn't turn out well.
That's right.
But I get the sense that Beatrice knows that they are ultimately made for each other, although she's not a woman who's easily led.
No, I think that's exactly right.
You worked before in a number of things, on Broadway and Seminar, and also in the Public's production of The Merchant of Venice, the one that moved to Broadway. Was Merchant of Venice the first time you worked together?
Yeah. Yeah, I had the good fortune to work with Lily's mom twice before, and that was how I met Lily. But that was, a couple of years before we did Merchant.
Well, the both of you come from theater families of one sort or another. Lily, your father, your mother's wonderful actress, your father, playwright, and in your case, Hamish, your mother taught Shakespeare.
Yeah, she just recently retired from Columbia University, but she wrote a book called Freeing the Natural Voice and created this whole thing called the Linklater Technique, which is how great American actors can talk Shakespeare real loud in big places.
And in this case, without British accents.
Oh, yeah.
That is a directorial decision, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is, and also it's like, what's the point of it? Back in the day, back in Shakespeare's day, English people spoke with hard R's, and nowadays it's a little bit softer, but why not talk in the way that he intended it to be spoken?
Somebody has looked at Shakespeare's rhymes and decided that the language probably sounded a lot more like American English at the time he was writing than it does now.
Yeah. And it's nice, you know, those people at the Delacorte, they stand in line for so long for those tickets. And then, you know, it'd be nice if when you come into the theater, people sound like you, sound like the other people you've been standing in line with. So, yeah.
How does having worked together before, not just the two of you, but with any other people, translate on the stage? Does it make the whole process a lot easier?
It does, and being in the park is there's such opportunity for that. This is the first time I've been there without Dan Sullivan, but there are from the crew to and being with Hamish and Dan and Jack are wildly different, but also share some.
Yeah, they're peas in a really crazy pod.
Yeah, in a really crazy pod. And it does feel...
Both great directors.
Great directors.
And really good friends, and they both came to New York at the same time, yeah.
And so there is this... It just feels like you get to skip ahead at the beginning of the rehearsal process because there's just such a level of trust and comfort and love and security and intimacy, really, that I think just gets things, you get to the good part quicker.
And as you pointed out, Hamish had a leg up because he already knew most of his lines.
Yeah.
Do you try to surprise each other?
Yeah. No. Yes, absolutely. I mean, the thing, Lily always has a leg up sort of like emotionally whenever we work together. So I have to sort of catch up on that way. But no, last night, you know, it was real rainy and I didn't want to sit in our scene together because it was very damp. And I made a point of that, I think the audience was on my side, that it seemed very unreasonable because they had wet bottoms as well. And Lily came out and stuck to the blocking and sat right down on the steps. And then, just like Beatrice said, and you're going to sit down too. And so I had to sit as well. And yeah, so, but you know, that's like the familiarity is right there. So you can, we can look at each other in the eyes and say, yeah, this is safe. And we can go off script and Shakespeare will forgive us, hopefully.
You've said that working with Robin Williams in The Crazy Ones was about harmonizing because it's not possible to compete. This performance is all about harmonizing. So did that lesson serve you well?
Yeah, I mean that's what you want to do. You want to play in the band, and with master musicians that raise the level of your musicianship.
Lily, in your case, the first time you ever appeared in a Shakespearean part was Merchant. That was with Al Pacino.
It was.
That could be intimidating.
He's so present. On stage, it is that thing, what you're saying, and why I think you can surprise each other and try things that don't work and try them sometimes, you know, deep into the run, and is when you feel like that person across the... You're not abandoning them or going to do something that is going to leave them in the lurch, hopefully, but that they will... That they're
excited to be alive with you on stage.
And that you can trust
them. And
that
you can trust
them. To go along with you.
And just sort of feel that they're right there with you in every moment. And I felt that very much with Al, and I certainly feel that every night with Hamish.
You've said that doing the Public Theater Shakespeare in the Park is the best job. The point where I've been told that you passed up a chance for the Hunger Games sequel to be in this production.
I did, yeah. There was a moment when I was going to be able to do both, and then they became dates shifted, and it became a total conflict. And this was.
That was a hard decision for me because I really like the Hunger Games a lot, too. So.
As do I.
Yeah.
So you wanted her to be in it.
Well, I was torn. But ultimately, I'm happy with her decision.
My guests are Hamish Linklater and Lily Rabe, two of the stars of the latest production of the play that Shakespeare gave one of the weirdest names to, Much Ado About Nothing. It almost sounds like he's criticizing himself. On the other hand, it turns out that is a good description of the plot, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. My daughter came to see it. She's 7 years old, and she was getting the title wrong the whole next day. She thought it was "What You Do About Nothing." And I thought that was kind of, yeah, I don't know. What do you do about nothing? it is a weird title. It's sort of like he said, "So I wrote a play."
You know? It's Much Ado. What's it about? Much Ado About Nothing. Yeah.
The amount of emails that went back and forth, getting it all together, that were titled "Much Ado About Much Ado," was there were many.
There's been a debate over the years over whether this or Twelfth Night are his funniest play. You get a lot of laughs in this play, but also you're helped by the amazing cast that you have here.
I mean, it's spectacular. Brian Stokes Mitchell, who is so sublime all the way through it, throws in a song for you. Please, just come for the song, if nothing else.
He's the harmony so on that song is gorgeous.
God.
But you also have John Glover, Zoe Winters, John Pankow. John Pankow in one of the most brilliant comedy turns.
Oh, he's a spectacular Dogberry. Spectacular.
You have some delightfully goofy monologues, Hamish. How does Benedict come to accept himself as a man in love when he has spoken so disparagingly about marriage for so long?
I think he's been a soldier. He's gone to war for a while, he's at this time in his life, and this great woman comes along and says, "I love you," although she doesn't say "I love you." These other guys pretend like she said "I love you."
They're tricked into thinking they love each other.
Yeah, and it's an amazing effect it has on them, that this person that they love discovering that they are loved. You know,
the plot hinges on whether another woman, Hero, will be a virgin on her wedding night, and the reactions of various characters and discussions about the matter of virtue continue to resonate in many parts of the world today. But an interesting part of the play is that although it presumes the value of virginity, the heroine, as played by you, is an independent renegade character. So Shakespeare's cutting it both ways.
Yeah, she is.
And nobody questions whether she is a virgin or not.
No, I mean it's in there a little bit of that, but she gets to, you know, he gives her. It's this incredible thing where during the wedding, during Hero's wedding, this woman who has had so much to say at every moment and always has something to say is just, I'm completely silent. There's. She doesn't say a word, and then is given this sort of it's as much of a monologue as I have in the play, really, even though he's there. But once she starts, she doesn't stop when she unleashes.
Well, when she's outraged,
these feelings.
One of my favorite lines you get to say is, "Oh God, that I were a man, I would eat his heart in the marketplace."
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Shakespeare gave you that line.
He did, yeah.
He had to have been half Italian. That's fantastic.
Hamish, is it fair to say that on stage and in television you have played your share of neurotic characters?
I don't know what you would mean by maybe. I don't know.
I'm just wondering if you fear being typecast.
Well, should I? Do you think I should?
Do you want to do a straight romantic lead?
I always
Benedict.
I thought I'll grow a little facial hair this time, and maybe I can hide behind that and be less neurotic. Yeah.
But these are often a lot of fun, I would think.
Yeah. You know, it's good to have obstacles, and I put myself in my own way pretty much in every part I play.
You've done Hamlet, but not in New York.
No. Do you hear that, New York? I haven't done it in New York, but I did do it. I've done it twice, and he's an awesome guy. He's got some doubts to him.
He's got some doubts?
Yeah.
What would your dream Shakespearean role be? You're too young for Lear.
Prince Lear. That would be my favorite. A young Lear. Where you get to explore, you know, more his relationship with his wife when they were raising those three daughters, and Lily would play Queen Lear or Princess Lear, and we would see why those kids turned out so dysfunctional.
Lily, what would your ideal role be other than Beatrice?
Well, I love the idea. We have We talked about Taming of the Shrew.
She'd be a good Kate. Tell you what.
Would you want to do that together, Taming of the Shrew?
We sure would, yeah. And I would love
Macbeth
to,
might also
I was going to just say. That was the other one I was going to say, yeah.
So you're already thinking of other plays where the two of you would be paired?
Sure.
We enjoy each other's company.
I've heard that you're going to be doing a Mary Pickford movie. Is that still in the works?
It's in the works, yeah. And I hope that it would be so great if, yes.
What do I play in that?
Well, something.
Douglas Fairbanks.
If it ain't broke. Yeah, exactly.
You get to leap across rooftops if you do that.
He was very tall.
You both have done a fair amount of television. Is that what pays for the luxury of being able to do something like Shakespeare in the Park?
It's so wonderful to be hired ever to do anything. So, it's great. But TV pays more than free Shakespeare. So, yeah, you got to feed yourself and you got to feed yourself.
And since so much is being done these days in New York, that makes it a lot easier to go back and forth between theater and television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is your mother happy that you're doing Shakespeare? It must have been scary when you were a kid or when you first started playing some of these roles to have your mother in the audience.
Yeah. Well, she came two nights ago, and it was scary two nights ago.
I got so nervous, too. I remember
does she give you
10
notes?
Minutes in that she was there.
She does give notes, and they're spot on every single time. I don't think she's listening right now. She's going to give me some notes on this if she is. But I told her she could probably find it online afterwards. I hope that's not true.
And Lily, your parents, or your mother, pretty great actress?
Yeah, I make them come multiple times so that I don't have to get too, nervous about if I feel I've had a bad show. So that was always the rule, that they had to promise that they would come see the show more than once. But I guess
and you
I feel...
have bad. You think you have bad nights?
Oh, sure.
The audiences love it all. Do you think there's a different audience out there?
You know what? They are the greatest audience in the entire universe. And I've started calling them fans, actually, instead. But they're Shakespeare fans. I mean, they've come. They've invested all that time standing that line. The tickets are free, and they want to hear their Shakespeare. And it's, like, really a great privilege to just get out of their way and give it to them.
And also, they're seeing it in very odd circumstances because it's outdoors with airplanes going by. There are all sorts of distractions, and yet they seem to be, and when I say they, I mean me as well as a member of that audience, totally engrossed on what's going on.
It's really tremendous. It's unlike, it's why it's the greatest job.
Well, I thank you both so much for being here to talk about it. And the run is until when?
July 6th.
And then you move on to movies and
go?
Mary Pickford and stuff like that.
We disappear into the ether until Oscar calls us back.
Lily Rabe, Hamish Linklater, both in Much Ado About Nothing at the Delacorte. And thank you so much for being
thank
on our
you
show
so
again.
Much.
So much for
thank
having
you.
Us.
Thank you.